Hello, and welcome to Extreme Gaming Podcast, episode 243, August 29th, 2024. We're recording this. I'm GreyGamer25, and on today's show we have...
Trans Trev, that tune before was absolutely banging, boys. I don't know about you, you had some bonus content in there before. Sneak peek into how the boys dance and get it on. You're missing gold, man. We should be charging for this. Hello, I'm Trev. How you doing?
I was going to say, you're still dancing away.
It's a banger.
Hey, come on.
Yeah. Either that or we have to run to the restroom.
Yeah, I should have come before. Just do what we all do. Pee your panties.
Give me your name, Matt.
Yeah, so I'm Matt, also known as Irish Guardian on Twitch. Hello.
Hi.
All right, so we are back. You guys have a good week from the last podcast?
Small caveat up front. I loved the podcast last week, and I will do it in some shape or form between now and a month or so from now. But I am in the middle of, get your violins out, boys, of not only buying a house and moving, or a flat, but also doing an office move about the same time. So I'm stressed out of my box. But I love the podcast, and I love those two goofballs even more. So I will be making it, even if it's from a cup and a string, using dial-up 56K modem, I'll be there.
So no change.
No change.
Such dedication.
Awesome.
All right. I guess, as Trev would say, we get the paperwork out of the way. First of all, join our Discord. It's discord.gg/extreme gaming podcast. Of course, that's all one word. Again, discord.gg/extreme gaming podcast. If you come on the Discord, you'll see all three of us, plus other people, and we're playing games all the time. We have separate rooms for talking about games, computer hardware and tech stuff, Star Trek room, entertainment room. We got something for everybody.
Why do we have those last two rooms, Gray?
Sorry?
Why do we have those last two rooms?
I haven't gotten that far yet. I do follow the notes.
He does, but it deserves a special plug as always.
If you have any PC tech questions, especially, or any questions at all that you want us to answer, either put it in the chat or drop it in our Discord and Gen Chat, and one of us or all of us will get to it and put it in our notes and answer it for you. Also, we have a second stream that we do, but it's a gaming stream on Twitch on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. BST time. So join us there for whatever game we might be playing at the time. Also, we have a couple other podcasts besides this main one, Gray's Green Room, which I try to do monthly when I can. It just covers entertainment in general, meaning movies, television, you know, all kinds of stuff. And we have the Trekway, which is obviously Star Trek, which I do with Trev. So I see mine and Trev's face especially a lot.
Unfortunately, I'm sorry.
Between all three.
But you can tune in to listen to our audio podcast on all good audio platforms if you don't like our ugly mugs. It's a bonus.
There you go. Spotify and Apple and all the others and Amazon and all that stuff. Yep. So we're going to roll right into the show. We got a bunch of stuff that's been going down that we want to talk about. I'll start it off a little bit. I was reading an article about the Doom Anthology Steelbook case with a replica BFG. So apparently it's for pre-order. If you're a Doom nut like us, you might want to pick it up perhaps, but it's going to be $80. It includes six games and a replica BFG. The only thing I was a little bit disappointed with it is that it is not a larger BFG. It's only like a 5-inch, 6-inch model, which is cool. I mean, it looks pretty neat, but I was expecting one with a little more heft to it. Like, you know, you could kind of like pick it up.
That's all you're disappointed about? Was there nothing else you're disappointed about, Gray? On our behalf? Maybe, Matt and I's behalf?
On the what?
No, he doesn't know, does he? So when I read this on your notes yesterday or the day before, I couldn't believe you didn't give me a heads up of this amazing news, considering I'm a Doom nut as well. Shame on you. Where's the shame on you button?
There is one?
There should be one. But I'm devastated that it's only for North Americans.
Okay. I didn't get into that part of it, so yeah.
That's part of why I couldn't see it.
Why would they do that?
To quote, actually, I won't quote the full line because it's a bit naughty, but to quote Team America, something,
Well, first of all, the You remember when they did the special with they actually had the Doom Slayer helmet? It was like actual size.
Which I've got somewhere.
Yeah, and that's cool because it's big, right?
Helmet.
The gun looks great, but I'm just kind of like, oh, come on, man. Couldn't you get like maybe I don't know, 1.5 foot, 2 foot, whatever. Big
gray.
One.
It's only $80 or whatever. If that was going to be much bigger, it would be triple the price.
100, yeah.
Yeah, 200.
Wasn't the helmet one like 250?
Yeah, yeah, and that translated straight into pounds, which makes no sense, but it was 250. Yeah. What? So I'm disappointed. It's a really small weapon. Insert joke here. It's only for North Americans. Again, insert joke there. And three, I'm not a fan. It's an anthology. I think they should have done something like this for the actual Dark Ages or whatever the hell it's called coming out next year. What was the new one called? Yeah. Should have done Dark Ages
2025.
Or do something
I think they're
else.
Doing it because they're obviously they trying to stretch out the promo until 2025 comes along. And they do it. I got a feeling that the reason why they came out so soon too like this is that I'm hoping that Doom Dark Ages will be out early 2025 because they're announcing this anthology now. So why would they wait an extremely long time before the new game came out?
For that very reason.
I could be wrong, but I got a feeling this kind of news is actually good news for us because I think the game will come on the early side, the new game, as opposed on the later side. I hope. If you're wondering what's in it for our North American listeners, it has Doom, Doom 2, Doom 64, Doom 3, Doom 2016, Doom Eternal and Deluxe Edition, Steelbook Game Case, et cetera. It has a black background with the blood red letters that they typically use on Doom. Like I said, the gun, the BFG, is only 5 inches, but hey. And the funny thing about that is, you know what BFG stands for. Of course, we can only say big freaking gun.
Yep.
But it's only going to be this big. So it's going to be, look, I got a BFG. Oh,
there you go, guys.
It's a size.
For
it's
those,
what you can do with it.
For those that tune in live to the Twitch or watch it back in the VOD, and that's why you should be doing it first and foremost, there's a little sneak peek. That looks way bigger than it actually is, but it's only 5 inches. Yeah. So we all know things about 5 inches are usually very powerful, so this will be no exception.
Look, if that thing in the picture we're looking at is actually 5 inches, then the game is really little. The box is really small.
Yeah, they made an arse of the scaling, didn't they? Yeah.
You're going to pay $80 for like a 3-inch square steel case box.
Would you buy that though, boys? Because if you're a Doom nut, or even if you're just a general Doom fan, never mind a nut, you're going to have all those games anyway, which I do, including the remastered Doom 1 and 2. So you're paying then $80 for the little gun, which on its own is probably a ripoff, but then these things always are, aren't they? So
supposedly it's supposed to light up and stuff, but, you know.
What is it? Is it a code? Is it a code for, even if it's a console, you get a code or something? Because I know you do that on PC.
I didn't see any mention of it, but then again, I don't know.
Well, PC,
I don't see anything about a code. It's a hard thing. I mean, you're ordering a physical thing.
Yeah, but the steelbook makes so a lot of the time you can get certainly on PC, but probably for consoles as well, you get a steelbook with it, which is essentially the case, a fancy case for the game, but without a disc inside. Which there's zero point in that. That is why? Just why? So
well, I would assume, I could be wrong, but maybe the gun fits in the case. Maybe that's what.
Hey,
was what I,
how does that
I,
work?
I don't know for sure.
Is that a TARDIS case?
Yeah, for the case.
I guess it couldn't be that big.
No chance, mate. No, steelbook, it'll be enough to just cover a disc or a few discs. It's really thin, yeah. It's cool though.
Yeah, I think overall, I'm not like overly thrilled about it. Plus, they don't say anything about whether the Doom and Doom 2 or is the remaster that they put out. See, now if it was all remastered, that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, that's a good point, mate. That's a very good point.
It doesn't say that in here, so I assume it's the originals.
I assume it's original because a Doom Eternal, the only thing that's got anything different to it is the Doom Eternal, the Deluxe Edition, whatever that means. So
means you get an extra, you know, a skin.
Couple of skins.
Game.
Yeah.
It lights up, like you said, and it makes the cool noises as well. I remember, right, this deja vu and the famous tangents we go on. I remember, now I know a caveat up front before everyone slates me, the movie was crap overall, but the Doom movie, the original one with The Rock in it, I bloody loved that. It was cheesy, it was awful, right? But there's two highlights in it. There's two highlights in it. The first one is when he gets the gun for the first time. And The Rock, I think, is a decent actor in movies like that. And he picks it up and he says the famous lines, which I won't say, big fucking gun. And then he shoots it for the first time and he's like, damn. You know? And then the second time, you boys will remember this. You've both seen the movie, yes? Mm-hmm. Remember where Carl Urban's Doom guy, he gets injured or something, right? But then he gets some of that, like, injection, right? That kind of brings him back to life without turning him into one of the, like, zombie things. But then it turns into first-person mode. And then it goes up to a reflection and he almost shoots it because he sees himself. And that happens in the original Doom games. I was geeking out, man. I was, like, literally going about the room going daft. I went, thank you. I don't care if the rest of the movie's awful. You made my day.
I mean, that movie. It wasn't a stellar movie, but it wasn't. I wasn't that bad. I enjoyed it. I mean, it could have been better.
The Doom movie after that, or the Doom movies were after that, were a lot better. Like in terms of, they left it in a cliffhanger where that chick went to the actual to hell, to the other side, and then you just seen her at the end, what, everything coming towards her with like what, a grenade or something and a gun. I was just like, please give us one more, and they never. Yeah, I enjoyed it, man.
Cliffhanger, and you don't know what happened.
I love Doom, mate. I absolutely adore Doom, but it's so hard to make good TV shows.
By the way, we're going to be talking a lot about Star Wars Outlaws because it just came out for people that can get early access. And since I have a Ubisoft Plus pass and so does Matt, we were able to play the game early. So we are going to talk a little bit about that. But the second story I wanted to say, which was funny when I read it, I thought, oh, wow. There apparently is another graphics preset in Star Wars Outlaw that is not there unless you follow directions to uncover it. Now, they have an ultra setting, which many games do, but now apparently they have one above ultra that's called just simply Outlaw. And I'm like, wow. So Outlaw has got to be what? Because right now it's tough playing on ultra, even with a 4090. You know, and now they're going to have an Outlaw setting. So apparently you can go in there, take it all the way up to the top, hide it or whatever. But you do got to go through a little bit. It doesn't sound terribly difficult, but they're talking about opening up UBC Connect. You're going to locate the game in your library. You have to right click on it. You have to hit manage. You have to click on properties. Then you got to start looking at the general tabs and adding a couple, one or two, like one command.
You don't need to read any guides now. Grace just told you how to do it.
Yeah, no, you got to read the article. You better Googling it because you don't want to do it wrong. But basically, it's just one line, unlock Mac settings. And then when you save and close it, you go back into the game and there's the Outlaw preset, which for right now, I can tell you, if you don't have a 4090, don't even bother on that one. It really, it ain't going to work.
Well, I'll save this until we actually discuss the game because I just watched videos and stuff and I've got ranty negative things to say. But just based on the performance of that point you made there, Gray, it's kind of ridiculous that you're needing a really powerful, strong PC to try and overcome the problems that this game has got. But that's all I'll say because I know you boys have covered the game or will cover the game, and I'll jump in with what I've seen so far as well when I get to it. But
I don't know. I mean, there was a guy I commented, I was reading, why would they have the preset something you had to go through to turn it on? Why? And then they were saying, like, well, because it's so difficult to play on ultra that if they had the Outlaw preset from the beginning, then no one would play it because they put the Outlaw on, they can't, and it's unplayable. So they didn't want people to get a bad first impression of the game, so they eliminated the Outlaw preset.
Really?
And then later they tell you how to put it on.
That's why you give people the options. Like, you give them the options, one extra option, and you say, listen, warning, this one will absolutely tickle your graphics card undercarriage and it'll cry.
With a chainsaw.
Yeah.
They probably just said that Outlaw will only work with the 5090 when it comes out.
They should have waited. A caveat.
By that time, you already killed the game.
Oh, man.
Anyway, Last thing too is Age of Mythology is going to be coming soon. I read up a little bit on this. I thought it was a new game. It's not quite. It's a remaster of the original Age of Mythology, but from what I saw in the pictures and videos, it's a nice remaster. It looks really good. And that's going to be coming out. If you do have Game Pass, all of us will get it on Game Pass on September 4th. If you pre-ordered the premium edition on Steam, you can actually play it right now, apparently. But when it comes to the rest of us, we're going to have to hang out until the 4th of September. But I'm looking forward to it because I always loved that game because they only made one of those, whereas Age of Empires, they've done four now. But Age of Mythology, they only did one, which I thought was, you know, I was kind of wanting to see another one. So I'm glad that they remastered it, and can't wait to start playing it. But it looks really, really good.
I thought it was a new game, mate. I'm so confused. I thought for the longest time that was a new game. I didn't know it was a remaster.
I read it was a remaster, I thought, but I'll check it again, but I'm pretty sure it is a remaster from what I read. In fact, if you look at Wikipedia, it says that.
Which one is it, Greg, again? Which one did they remaster again? Remind me.
The original Age of Mythology. Yeah.
So the remastered, original one.
They called it Retold. Get it? Retold. Mm. Remastered. And then we get it all free on Game Pass on the 4th. I don't know what the original price or is for the premium edition. I would assume it's not too much, but it's on Steam. I'm not looking at it right now.
$37.99 for the premium.
That's not too bad, but for an older game, even with a remaster, that's a little. I guess it depends on what else you're getting in the premium edition. A picture of us, you know, and then maybe
a free dinner.
That is well worth it.
A free dinner or free to throw up your dinner?
One of the two, depending on how you play it. Well, we'll get into that part as we get along here. Yeah. But we're going to move on with some more game news. Trev's got a couple things to cover. So take it away, Mr. Trev.
Yes, and Grail got back credit for this one, to be fair. So it's kind of these things happen within a couple of days of one another. We officially hear that Valve are making, in the process of making and testing, that FPS game Deadlock. Now, it's the worst kept secret since the baby Jesus. But to be fair, at least they officially announced it because they knew it would be counterintuitive to keep lying about it for ages and ages and ages. So they just came out and announced it so that this way they can get the proper support behind it and they don't need to be stepping on eggshells to get anything done. I haven't watched the gameplay of it. Greg, you put in a link here for a clip. I've not had the time. So Greg in a moment could come in and tell me what he makes of it so far. But around about the same time or a day or two later, I gets an invite via Steam, Discord, email, carrier pigeon. I mean, it came through in multiple avenues, actually, from Mr. Gray. And it was, would you like to play Deadlock early? And I was like, there's a bear shit in the woods. Yes, I would. So I will get involved in that. But then I was like, well, how did Gray become Billy Big Bollocks? How did he manage to pull that one off? Gray, tell the people what you saw about the gameplay. You played it a little bit, I think. And how you got the invite?
I have my contacts. No, actually, all I did was go on Google and I said, how do I get an invite? And basically I turned up a guy who's a Steam member and he said, why wait? Just friend me and I'll send you the invite. I thought, okay, what the hell? I'll try it. So I got a hold of the guy, sent the friend request. He returned it within a day or less. And then I said, you know, please send me an invite. And then he answered me back and said, you should get it within 5 hours to maybe max a day. And I said, cool. So it took about, I don't know, maybe 12, 15 hours. And I got the email. And sure enough, it was an invite to the game. So I just clicked on it and boom, I'm in. And it was only like, I think, a 10 gigabyte download because it is an online massive player game. So it's not as big a download. So I went ahead and downloaded it and I was going like, all right, now what do I do? And first of all, what they do is they go through like a training session. We'll get into it more when all three of us play it, but there was a training area, which was great because you could learn a tutorial in steps. And I got to give Valve credit. They really did a nice job on it. You can take each step of the tutorial at your own pace You can play parts of the tutorial over and over again if you want to get to if you didn't catch it the first time around. And then finally you get into real battle, which still is part of a training. They call it a training. And then you're actually playing. Your character is playing against, I think, one other character on the other side, plus four other, I guess, minions or something that are fighting. But essentially, you have a guardian on each side. So you're playing on one side, and you could be, you know, the green team, and you have your guardian, big robot-looking thing with a flat kind of head or whatever it is. And then you have another guardian all the way over on the other side of this city block, right? There's buildings and everything. And the idea is that it keeps on sending out waves and waves of enemies, and you have to keep on taking down the enemies. And then when the guardian becomes vulnerable, after you take out the enemies, you start taking out the guardian. But eventually, you're not going to take him out right away. He's tough. And then all of a sudden, he'll just go immune again, and he sends out another wave. So this keeps on happening where there's more and more waves. Now, the cool thing about the character that I liked was that it had all kinds of upgrades. I mean, the only downside I could say is it took a long time for me to figure out what upgrades I wanted, because you only can put in four of one feature, I believe, and then four on another feature. So essentially, you only have eight upgrades that you can use on some of your things, even though there's lots of stuff. If you want to change an upgrade, you have to sell the upgrade you have in for half price and then buy another one at the full price or whatever price it is, to continue your upgrades. They have, and it has everything. Upgrade your armor, upgrade your, what they call their spirit skill, because every time you kill an enemy, you capture its soul or something like that.
Oh, wow. That's grim.
And you get these points. The souls are points. And then you go to a shop and you spend the souls on all this paraphernalia stuff and upgrades and weapons.
How do you get the souls? Sorry. Is it like a hard kill or kill confirmed where you kill the person, then you have to go over their dog tag kind of thing, pick it up, or you automatically...
No, you don't have to pick up anything. When you kill whatever enemies are killing, you get whatever souls.
Right, okay.
But now, on top of that, though, they have, like, as the soul escapes, leaves the character's body or whatever, there could be different color souls, and some are worth more points than others. So when you see it leave, you see, like, it's almost like a balloon. Mm-hmm. And then if you shoot that balloon, you get more souls, you know, even more.
Great. See, sorry to interrupt. See, when you're getting the soul, see, when, like, you kill the person, you get the soul, do you go, "Your soul is mine"? Like Mortal Kombat, Shao Kahn? Yeah. No?
Not quite, but there is a game that's master that you keep on hearing talking every once in a while. Very similar to some other games like this, where he'll be going, like, you know, they've killed our enemy, or our guardian is in trouble, you know, XYZ. One of the things that's kind of cool is they have this, like, what do I call it? It's kind of like a cable car wire up in the top of the city above
zip
the
line.
Buildings. What now?
Zip line, maybe?
Kind of, but not really. It's actually more of a track kind of thing, or it looks like a track.
Okay.
And then when you hold space bar, you fly up to it, it hooks onto it, and then you literally look like you're on a roller coaster ride, except it doesn't go up and down. It just goes, you know, all around. And then it drops you right into the middle of the battle. And then when you're low on health, you got to try to run back to the base via the same route, build your strength back up again, and then go back and play again. Now, if you don't, you die, but you can revive yourself. I don't know, because the action was going so fast. I don't know I think you might lose, or you might not get as many benefits dying in the field as you would if you just remembered to go back and regain your health. I don't know how the game will play with a whole bunch of players in it. I haven't gotten that far yet, but from playing with some players and some that are like NPCs or whatever, I had a lot of fun. There was about, no joke, man, there must have been 15 to 20 different characters you could choose from. There was a whole bunch of them. Like, there was stealth and there was sniper, and you knew which one I took, so I went with the sniper, and they had
always
a stealth
sniper.
One, they had another. I know, I loved it, though. It was great. And some of the powers are, like, so cool. There was this one power where I forget what it was called, but
bullet sponge. Bullet sponge, no?
No, not bullet sponge. That's usually what I am. But this one, I hit one letter, And I fly up into the air. And while I'm in the air, I can actually fly through the air and shoot the enemies and get extra points or souls for killing these people while I'm up in the air.
Nice.
And they have a hard time shooting me up there, so I have an advantage when that happens. And there's some other powers where there's like a crow that comes out and starts pecking at people for you while you're shooting.
Wow.
And stuff. So that's kind of cool. I found it very enjoyable, and I'm not always thrilled about those kind of games because it doesn't, like when I played Overwatch, I liked the game, but I couldn't get into it because it was too hardcore PvP.
Do you think this game is similar to it? What's it similar to?
Because it's in that genre of games. Okay. So that's the similarity point.
The genre.
You know, the genre of games.
You say that so posh. The genre.
I know, because I practiced it many times before.
Turismo! You remember that one.
Even though I liked Overwatch, I gave up on it because it was so hardcore PvP that you're just literally getting killed way too quick to really enjoy the game.
Yeah.
This game was different, though. You actually had enough health where you could get peppered and still survive. At least long enough to enjoy the game. So it was kind of almost a cross between PvE and PvP.
Are you allowed to talk about it? But did you have to sign an NDA? I realize that saying that now is a bit late.
No. In fact, it just came out of NDA. That's why you're seeing some of the gameplay on YouTube now. It just came out of the NDA. But the way Valve is talking is they're not letting on, but they're making it sound like it's still going to be quite some time before it's finished. Because the thing from what I'm gathering is that when you play the game now, when you guys play it, you're going to be playing on a particular set or a particular area, and there is no other area in the game, period. So when the game does come out, I think it's going to have multiple areas that you can play in that would probably offer a lot more to it. Because if you play the same area over and over again, you're getting bored after a while.
Yeah.
Apparently that's what the ultimate game will be, but how long it's going to take?
If it looks that good already and plays as well as it does, and it's still a while from coming out. And thing is, Valve don't really do early access games, so they'll need to come out with a polished game. So if it looks and plays as well as it is at the moment, although it's limited, then I've got every faith it will do well. And this is the smart way of doing it. This is probably like an alpha or probably a pre-alpha, and it's that good. I mean, you would expect that to be the case with Valve's billions or millions in the bank, but I just hope this is a game that they should take time with, because look what's going on with, it's not in any of the articles or notes I had down, but look how badly Concord's doing for Sony, their hero shooter game that had been in development for 8 years, which blows my mind because it's so average and meh. And they had at one point only 600, was it 600 or 2,000? I think it was something like 600 concurrent players on Steam. You can't tell with PlayStation, but on Steam you can because it's open. It was so bad.
Do you know how many concurrent players this game has? And this is playtesting now.
600,000 or something, was it?
No, it's about 100,000.
Still,
these are all playtesting with invites only. That's a lot just for invites.
That's impressive, man.
That's impressive.
Valve will look at what's happening with Concord and go, right, we can't get this wrong. And the thing is, right, I know I'm putting similarities into Concord because then Concord's got similarities to like Overwatch, Valorant, whatnot, games that are slightly cartoony. And this game here, if I get it right, 6v6 third person hero shooter. Concord is a hero shooter. And the thing is, it plays pretty decently, maybe even well. It looks pretty decent. It's just no one gives a shit about the characters. And the thing is, with a hero shooter, you kind of want to give a shit about the characters. That's the whole point in it. I think the problem with Concord was they had the nerve to charge $40, £40, which is not AAA prices, but then it's a season pass on top of that and in-game purchases. Yeah. They should have just made it a live service, free-to-play game. It would have maybe done better. But when I look at this, I think, Valve, you don't want to make an arse of this. Take your time, get it right. I'm not really a fan of hero shooters, boys, to be honest with you, normally. Not my cup of tea. Well, maybe we'll play it all together, right? For the people. I'm thinking we maybe do it not next week because Gray will be busy. It'll just be Matt and I, or we do something pre-recorded. But we'll maybe do it the week after because Matt and I can maybe play the COD closed. There's an open beta that starts tomorrow and come and let you guys know how we got on with that next week and then maybe do Deadlock the week after. How's that sound?
That sounds fine to me. I think it's the kind of those kind of games like Deadlock, or I have a lot more fun, you know, playing like with you guys. If I'm just going to go in on my own, I can have a certain amount of fun, but it's just not as much fun unless you're not playing with friends.
Well,
at least to me, anyway.
As long as you do, you use your special power or your power upgrade, which is bullet shield for the boys, so that you can soak up the bullets. We'll just throw you out. There you go, Gray. There you go, and then we'll just poke around you and shoot the bad guys. Man.
Well, I was clicking a lot of the health options, like heals, and if you come close to like some of these NPCs, they heal you a little bit. So I'm like, yeah, man, stay in the game. I still died some, but not as much as usual.
Do you maybe think that you're not as good at that type of game because, and I'm only partially joking, because of the old trackball, you can't move it as smooth and as accurate and as quick as, say, this mouse here?
No. To whether people believe it or not, I find that you, from a mouse to the trackball that I use, I'm a lot faster on the trackball. And remember, this is not a trackball with the balls in the center, and you use your fingers. This is a thumb ball.
A what, man?
I can be so much more accurate with a thumb ball because your thumb is a lot better than using the other fingers.
Very dexterous.
You must have a thumb like a baby's arm holding an apple.
A baby what?
Matt gets it. So the audience. Google it afterwards.
You throw Scottish and Irish things at me now. Come on.
No, it's not Celtic things, man. Come on. No.
Okay, all right. My question is, I especially the new one I got by a company that makes these things. That's all they do.
What are they called?
And this thumb ball so arrows. The trackball is so much better than the Logitech one I had.
That's good. I teach their own. We'll always tease Gray about the old thumb ball.
Don't bother me. I don't hear half of them. No, only kidding.
Selective hearing.
Let's get on to the next piece of news there, Trevor.
I know. Sorry, we'll get plenty of time. So Deadlock is a big deal, but Gray did put this out in the Discord, but I saw it probably about the same time and put it into our notes. Just because I'm actually going to play this at some point. I haven't bought it yet because we've got so many games to play, so I'll probably get it when it goes down in price down the line. Is Black Myth Wukong. The old tiny bit of Souls to it, but not quite Souls game, but you're a monkey with attitude. It blows my mind, this game. It has sold 10 million copies across all platforms in just 3 days. Now, it's probably sold more than that since, because that was from a couple of days ago, which absolutely blows my mind. And that relates to the kind of other point, which is PlayStation 5s are sold out in China because our fellow Chinese gamers are going mad for this game because there's a lot of Chinese mythology in it, right? That's where the story element's coming from and the kind of background, and it's just Chinese, heavily Chinese oriented. So they went out and bought the PlayStations, where it was not normally a big favorite console over there. China, for those that don't know, they're big into their PC gaming and their mobile gaming. They're not really big console players. Plus, consoles were banned until like 2-4 years ago, something like that. So bet you didn't know that. So it's selling out. And then you go and check the concurrent player count, and that's when I got my figure wrong, Gray. It was something like 600,000 concurrent players. And China was literally, this time, pun not intended, number one, because they were holding up this game. Literally, you look at the play chart on Steam, which Steam's very open like this. You can see a lot of stuff. You see them playing it, like, because you can tell by region as well. And it goes up and it goes up and it goes up. And then it dips down and you think, oh, that's literally bedtime for them. And then it comes to daytime again, it goes up. Yeah. And I'm just thinking, nobody works in China, clearly. But boys, what do you make of this game? Because I've watched some video of it. I've watched some Twitch gameplay in it. And I think it looks bloody fantastic. Because I don't like the Souls type games, right? It's too much for me, right? But I like a little bit of Souls to it, and an open world and a lot of mythology and stuff. I thought it looked fantastic. I will play it at some point.
Yeah, it does look really nice.
I heard that it's people are saying Souls-like, but they're saying that no, it's not.
A little bit,
correct. But everybody was thinking like, oh, Souls game. So, you know, like I don't like those. Yeah. You know, but it's not like that from what I'm reading, you know.
Yeah.
But I it looks good to me too. I'm waiting to see if the price might come down as well, but it looks very good from what I've seen.
Matt, have you bought this game? Would you buy this game? Do you like the look of it?
I like the look of it. I like the story of it, because I do like folklore and mythology stuff. So I was pretty keen. But as well, you know, by the looks, I thought it was like the Souls game sort of thing. So I was like, oh, I'm not going to do well on those type of things. And I did hear there's problems with the narration, where sometimes it'll cut off audio speech for characters. And then some of the translation is lost and it goes into Chinese versa sort of thing.
Well, that would be it.
But I wouldn't say that as a game breaker, because, you know, those type of things, I wouldn't mind having subtitles and then having, you know, the regional dialect, which is fine, because that adds to it to me.
I'll be patched by now, surely. Surely.
Possibly. When was the latest patch? I don't know.
If it's not patched, it's something. If they're worth their salt. I think they'd fix it.
Yeah.
The devs are Chinese, I think. So
Yeah, it is.
Let's, and I've never heard of them, to be fair, but they've made a fantastic game.
That's why they're very thrilled over there, because they said they don't get any kind of recognition, generally speaking.
Yeah, and they're not Game Pass.
So good, they're getting a lot. So, and I thought I remember last week when I was reporting on it that it didn't cost that much to make either.
Wow.
Now, true, they only pay so much over there, but regardless, it's still, you know, less money than some of the games they talk about here.
Microsoft, please bring it to Game Pass. Please just write them a big fat check. Please.
Like I said last week, it said they ain't coming anytime soon, man.
It's reasonably priced, you know that. I think it's only £40, $40, something like that. I've got a funny feeling.
Yeah.
On PC. So
then it went on a discount because it was $60 before. Easy. I don't know. Unless they got some sales going on or something.
I mean, even at $40, £40, 10 million copies, and it'll be more than that by now. I wouldn't be surprised if it's like 15 or something, because that was a couple of days ago. This was reported 2-3 days. They are rolling in. They are literally butt naked on the floor with dollar bills all around them, rolling about in it with jam smeared all over themselves, or whatever the currency is in China. I've forgotten it.
Well, now they're selling really well. They should reduce the cost.
Just under £50.
Just under 50. Okay. Oh, it's more expensive than I thought. But it's not the AAA price of 70. I think the top price game usually on PC is £60, Matt. It's not usually quite the full console price of 70.
Yeah.
I'd imagine it's 70. Oh, by the way, it's not on Xbox.
No, it's not now.
At all. None of them, right? And you're thinking, why? Because they don't take sides. If anything... I don't know which is more popular console-wise over there, but it's not there. It's something to do with, we thought it was something to do with trying to get it to work on the Xbox Series S, the smaller one, the digital one.
Yeah.
Because any game that comes out has to come out both consoles. It's a rule that Microsoft have, and you just dull it down for, somebody delete that idiot from the Twitch chat, would they? Boys, do your jobs. Come on. somebody with really cheap views, you know, the usual ban them. Actually, don't delete it.
They come on all the time. Yeah, I know.
Usually the same idiots there.
I get them on my phone. I get them everywhere.
So what was I saying before he distracted
me, this guy? How awesome I am.
You were talking about that the game should be cheaper and it's not an Xbox X.
It's a memory leak, apparently. It's actually a memory leak, which is concerning for a big game like this. That they can't fix that, and they're missing out on even more money. So you bet your bum cheeks that they are making they will make it work as soon as possible.
Yeah, sure. Wow. So it's on Steam. I'm sure it's on Epic, probably.
Yeah, they patched it yesterday.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
What did they patch? Did you get a patch notes? Anything significant, Mr. Matt?
Enabling FSR could cause crashes. That's been fixed. Happen in certain areas of the webbed hollow when using NVIDIA's full ray tracing. They fixed where hair would stretch abnormally. I've got that problem.
Hair would stretch abnormally?
Hair.
I want to see that. They should have left that in.
They optimized hair effects.
Oh, yeah, we've seen some of those.
Hair physics. The
game that we're going to talk about.
Some issues where enemies would get stuck in motion in specific situations. So they fixed that
as well. Wait a minute. Stuck in motion. Does that mean like they're staying there, but the feet are running?
Yeah.
LSD will do that, boys. LSD will do that in video games. Yeah.
Okay. What else is there? Yeah, so there's quite a few. Added translations for song titles, lyrics, and corrected display errors in English lyrics.
There you go. There's your facts.
Optimized translations. There you go. And improved the layout of subtitles and optimized the
translation. Question for you boys. You probably haven't noticed this, and it's okay if you haven't. Any gameplay you've seen in Black Myth Wukong, have you paid attention? And we'll get to this in Star Wars, because this is an issue in Star Wars as well. See the lip sync with the words. Is it off because it was probably initially recorded in Chinese, or does it actually suit English? Has anyone noticed that? Oh, I see what you've done there. Matt's kind of moving the mouth and pretending he's not talking.
I thought it was Discord for a minute.
No, that's an audio sync that's not quite in sync. I'm talking about it not matching up.
What you just said reminded me of was the fact that we weren't used to see the old Kung Fu movies that were all Chinese. Yeah. And they would dub in the English, but the lips would never match because they're speaking in Chinese. So it's kind of like, and I was going to do it the proper.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Peace so Academy I'm thinking maybe well. That's it because if the and I would do that. If I was making the game, I would match the lips to the Chinese language. You know, to sometimes, I don't know if this game does it, but some games you can actually talk in Chinese, but they have the English subtitles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And some people play the whole game like that because they just feel like they want to hear the native language of the time, you know, or whatever.
Makes sense.
Yeah, that's why I do with some games, yeah.
I mean, at least I do that
for a while, but then after a while, you start getting kind of like, okay, I've had enough, and then you go right to the English.
I will play it at some point. Let's say we've got so many games to play that for me at the moment, it's not a priority, but I would probably wait for a sale to come out, and then I'll probably go on holiday, air brackets for the people that are listening, and get it cheaper. In fact, I can get it cheaper. I can get it for about £30 at the moment. So needs to come down a
It'll
bit.
It'll probably happen eventually. Well, besides, that's why we do a weekly show, right? We got plenty of games to play and talk about.
Oh, yes. But yeah, anyway, so
Speaking of, we're going to move on to what we've been kind of alluding to, and that's Star Wars Outlaws. And Matt and I were lucky enough to, because we have Ubisoft Plus, and we were allowed to play the game early. Technically, the game still isn't out. It won't be out till tomorrow at the time we're recording this, August 30th. But we got the chance to play it. I'm going to let Matt take it away and give us his thoughts and stuff, and I'll just chime in. Go ahead, Matt.
In a galaxy far, far away.
Where's that intro music? Yeah. Oh, we don't have the budget for it, Matt. Sorry.
I know.
LucasArts are asking for $1 million. Can't afford it.
That's it. Yeah.
James Earl Jones.
Yeah. That's OEM. Yeah. We could try.
Alliance.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I was kind of interested. I was waiting to do the Ubisoft membership to have this game. And I think there's another one coming out soon. So I was like, I might as well get it now. So we got the game 3 days early. Seems okay. Gameplay is quite good. I've come across a few problems to do with visuals, audio, where sometimes the sound of the ship or, you know, at the beginning doesn't sound so good. Firefights. Yeah, pretty much. The sound of characters, NPCs talking in the distance sound way too close to what they are. Mm. So yeah, that's kind of off-putting because I'm just like looking around, go, who's talking? And then it's like miles away, you see these two guys and you're like, oh my goodness. unless you got super hearing, maybe, you know, that could be a Jedi thing.
Yeah. It's a new Jedi thing. Yeah, exactly.
That's it. Yeah, yeah.
It probably is.
Probably, yeah. So I've come across a mission or two that I can't complete because it's not there. There's quite a few puzzles in the game, and I don't like puzzles in games.
Yeah.
I don't mind them being, you know, a little puzzly, tiny little bit puzzly, but not when it's over and over
again. Is it safe to say, Matt, that the puzzle is very similar to the Starfield puzzles with the little turny things that are a pain in the arse? Yeah. So you just go into accessibility options and turn that off, basically.
To the credit of the game, there are settings in there that you can turn that stuff off. Because I was coming up to doors where I had to use my little mini tool like they have in the movies, and you plug it in and you turn it around, and right. And I had a mini game attached to how you do that. And I'm sitting there going like, oh, I'll give it a shot. And then I'm going like, yeah, forget it. And then I turned it off. So now I just stick, it just goes in, click, and it opens. And like, all right, I'm good.
Yeah, I've kind of stuck with it just to see if I could actually get the hang of it, which I have. I kind of know how to do it now. So you have to like not wait until the lights go off. You have to match your circle to the lights. So when they do it and your circle comes up, then you press it and then you're in, which is kind of easy.
I'm really glad you told us how to do it. I'm still not going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's quite a nice feature. But I normally don't go for that type of thing, especially when you're splicing machines. When you've got like a dozen numbers and you've got six places to put them and you have to work out which goes where, that can be quite annoying. But it does give you a lot of chances to do it. Even after the first alarm, you're still able to continue until you've completed all loads of turns that you can have. It's a good storyline. Yeah, go on.
You know you've been doing the puzzle too long when one of the enemies comes up and shows you how to do it.
Yeah. I'll do it for you this time. Do you mind? Yeah. I think I did that and I turned around. There was an officer just standing right behind me, facing the other way, thank God.
An officer? You're getting arrested again, Matt.
Yeah, an imp was there. So, yeah. Imperial officer. Come on now.
Okay. I'm not a Star Wars guy. Sorry.
You know, you should be.
No, I really know.
Yeah.
Waterfalls. Kind of
I don't like how you've just got one pistol that you can use. That's kind of annoying. I mean, you can pick up rifles, but you will drop them when you're doing things. Some of them aren't pickable, which is a shame because there's a guy with this massive, massive minigun sort of thing. Or it could be a flamethrower. Can't pick it up. Sniper rifle there is pretty awesome. I don't know if Gray's tried it yet.
I haven't gone that far
yet. From
the scout.
There's a few little Imperial checkpoints, I guess you'd say, where if you go inside, you can get some loot. And they've got like a little patrol around, tiny patrol. And then they got a scout trooper sniper at the top. Quite easy to get around. Vehicles. Having loads of vehicles there and only having just one speeder bike is a bit naff. You know, it'd be nice to kick a stormtrooper off a speeder bike and take theirs. That would have been nice.
Did you get as far as flying the spaceship?
No, not yet. No, I'm kind of gone off on a tangent in this partly sort of open world thing, because there are blocks in it, so you got like this area. It's not like a massive world thing that this is the planet, I can go anywhere. You can't.
I don't think it's not as open as like Assassin's Creed. Are huge maps. These are big, but they're not quite open as I would like to have been, I guess.
Yeah I mean, it the first planet I'm on, I think it's the same as yours. There's not much there. For such a hustle bustle kind of city, that there's hardly anything there. So there's a few farms here and there, little small villagey things that could have added to that. Sometimes you do forget that you're playing Star Wars, unless you see a few droids. But seeing the same ones over again is a bit annoying. But I'm glad they've actually got quite a few different droids that are shown there. And you know, looking up, it'd be nice to see like a Star Destroyer or something going on up in the skies, you know what I mean?
Or the remnants of the Death Star, if it's is it around about that time. Yeah. It is, actually. I saw some of the video at the start.
Yeah, it's between four and five.
That means nothing to me because I'm not a Star Wars fan, but I know that it's the remnants of... Is it the first time it's blown up? It'd be the first time. So it'd be nice if you looked up and you saw it in the sky, but I guess you'd have to be in a planet that was nearby.
Yeah, I mean, it's the size of a planet, so you should see something somewhere.
Yeah,
at that time there was only
depending
one
on where your planet is, and the suns and all that. But I did kind of geek out a little bit when I was going off to seeing a hidden pirate base.
Oh,
only a few people there, to be honest. And having the Imperial shuttle come down with a squad of stormtroopers coming out, sort of thing, and dealing with them. And then if you got in the way, then you know they're like, "Oh, what are you doing here?" And then come after you, sort of thing, which is quite nice. I think I went into one of the big bases, Imperial bases, to try and find a few things. Ended up getting caught and setting off alarms and then ending up having a whole death squad coming after me, death troopers, where one of the side quests is you have to deal with the death troopers. I didn't do that because I was too busy looking for other things and following a mouse droid, as you do, you know. Other than that, it's been okay. Yeah, it's playable. I'm having fun on it so far. FPS is a bit naff.
What would you give it out of 10, let's say, so far?
So far, I'd give it a 6.
Why is the FPS a bit naff? Is DLSS not in it?
Yeah, here, I'll talk to you about that one. I was playing with Matt, and I was getting... okay frame rate. It could have been better, but I had everything on ultra, because I wanted to see what would happen. Now I have a 4070 super overclock edition, so I figure, ultra, let's go. So I'm playing and it's getting I'm getting like 45-50 frames, not what I want it to be, but okay. And then all of a sudden I go out into the wide world on a speeder and everything just shuts down to like 14 FPS. And I'm like, what is going on? Everything's all janked out. And I'm sitting there like trying to shoot these guys that are trying to kill me. Obviously, I can't aim because everything's going. So I'm like, wow, what is this? So basically what it comes down to is I had to go back in and turn off RTX direct lighting. And I had to turn off ray reconstruction.
Basically, turn off ray tracing and full stop.
From what I found out was there's a certain amount of native ray tracing going on, but in addition to that, they have RTX direct lighting, which is an upscale kind of ray tracing, whatever. Then there's ray reconstruction, which is actually taking the direct tracing that might fail and redoing it so that it looks great. And if you have either one of those on, it just starts to drop the FPS. Once I turned those two off, then I was getting like 60, 75 FPS I was still on ultra or high, you know. So then I was fine. But I just was a little kind of ticked off because I'm sitting there going like, I don't have a 4090, but I got a card that's awfully close to a 4080 and I can't even do this. And I'm like... that kind of ticked me off a little
Gray,
bit.
Gray, that's kind of...
But to be fair, I went on there to see if I could do DLSS frame generation, right? And it's grayed out. And I'm going like, well, why is it grayed out? It doesn't work. Why would they put it there? So I started reading on the internet. It says that they're only going to have that available to you on the day that it comes out for real. So you gave us 3 days advance to play the game and you turn a feature off that everybody would want. I don't get it. So I hope on the 30th that when this grayed out button becomes real, that maybe then I'll get, double the frame rate or whatever.
Anything ray tracing, for the most part, take my advice, boys. I know a lot about this because all this geeky stuff fascinates me. Is not worth it unless the game is very well optimized and you have a good graphics card. It's not part of just normal ray tracing, but it still comes under the ray tracing bracket, overall ray tracing bracket, Gray. So you literally turn all that stuff off. And see, when it's talking about ray tracing global illumination, that kills the card. Anything that's ray tracing basically for the most part will kill the card because it's literally drawn lines of light everywhere, millions of times a second all over this map or whatever you're in. It's just not worth it. And the game is not... Is it my turn for a little mini rant from what I've seen so far? So
yeah, go,
there was people going nuts about this, especially in the PlayStation, because these guys are, got an emergency patch out because there were certain missions that were just, they couldn't proceed with, that would just break. So they've been told, okay, there's a patch for you that will fix your problem, but we highly recommend you start from the beginning again because we can't promise you won't encounter any more game-breaking issues later on. That these are the guys that have paid... I don't know if you get Ubisoft early access on the PlayStation, but you can pay a fortune for it. It was an extra, it was like $100 for the premium edition.
Yeah.
Don't forget that one, right? Everyone's talking about that. Just get it. Just do what these boys done. Pay £15, dollars, whatever it is. You get to play early as well. And you don't have these, you don't have the financial outlay. The amount of money that these people have paid to get this early and they're getting the sub par performance, it should be, see, 3 days before, it should be gold and ready to go. This is why you have alphas, betas before for select people to play and make sure it's okay. And then do you know what they've done? They've said, oh, we're really sorry you encountered these problems. Here's a little trinket you'll get in day one in game and 100 Ubisoft credits. I mean, Ubisoft come back again to just ruin another game. Now, I'm not a Star Wars guy, but Star Wars is a massive franchise, boys. You guys like it. There's millions of people that love it. And when I was watching it, it just had issues. Uses the Snowdrop engine that Ubisoft have got, which is good. Mm-hmm. That is a really good engine. It doesn't look like the Snowdrop engine.
Doesn't look at it at all. No,
no, no. Right. What I mean is Snowdrop...
It's messy.
Snowdrop looks good. It's not Unreal Engine 5, you're right, but it doesn't look as good as Division 2 at its premium, right?
Mm. And that's Snowdrop.
So, yeah, the hair physics, the facial physics of the mouth matching up with the words, the AI. There was one video I watched where this lady was, the main character is just standing there while there's a stormtrooper on a speed bike shooting at some NPCs nearby. And the character, the lady, the main antagonist, is just kind of looking around at the stormtrooper shooting the NPCs, and then be like aiming at the bad guy, and then finally just shooting them, taking them out. And I'm just, and then what Gray said about the frame drops. Gray's got a good graphics card. Like, this is unacceptable, Ubisoft, man. You just keep screwing games up, and the good games that you do make, good games. Are the games that it's rinse and repeat because you do them well, to be fair. You make money from them. But when you try to get a big franchise like Star Wars, you shit all over it. So I hope Disney doesn't give you another game to make.
Well, yeah. I kind of more or less agree with Matt. I would give it a 7 out of 10. Wow. I really do like a lot of aspects of the game. I really do. But there's some stuff I was expecting it to be. Maybe I was looking into it too much, but I was expecting it to be like a 9 out of 10 or better. And I'm not getting it, at least not yet. So we'll see. And the thing I didn't like about the Snowdrop engine is, yes, it looks really good in Division 2. But again, if we back off a second, to be fair, Division 2 is not open world, number one. Number two, it's 5 years old. It looks fabulous. I mean, it really does. But I think the Snowdrop engine isn't quite up to snuff.
Showing its age.
Right. Yeah, I think so. Because... and remember, Ubisoft doesn't necessarily, they don't do all their games in Snowdrop, just some of them. Now, if you compared it to Assassin's Creed, the Assassin's Creed graphics, when it comes to character animation, their faces, their hair, is definitely a step above this game.
Yeah, yeah. So Snowdrop can do it, is the point, if they actually bother to put the effort in.
I don't know. They haven't really said that. The way it comes off to me is that Snowdrop is a little under par when compared to the latest stuff like Unreal. So I'm expecting graphics at least as good as Assassin's Creed.
What engine did you use for Assassin's Creed then? It must be Snowdrop if it's their own engine.
No, I don't think it was Snowdrop. I'll double check.
I'll check what you're talking about.
Yeah, go ahead and check. The other thing but again, I'm trying to be fair a little bit. The cities, the environments, all that kind of stuff was really good. I mean, the graphics were very sharp. They look great. I felt like it was a Star Wars thing. that I was playing, so I really was happy with all that. But when you got to the character face, it's kind of like, it's okay.
Yeah, it's not the best.
It almost looks like you took a really nice picture of somebody and took a smudger and just kind of smudged it a little here.
I take back what I said then, if that's a Snowdrop engine, because they have more than one engine, which I'm surprised. Normally, a publisher or a game developer like this, I know they've got many studios, will have one main engine, but they've got more than one because I just looked at Assassin's Creed Mirage, which is the latest one or one of the latest ones.
Uses
an engine called Anvil, and that's the thing in the game, isn't it? So why would you have more than one engine? Get rid of Snowdrop 2.
Because I don't think Ubisoft is like, there's some developers that they will only use one engine and one engine only. Ubisoft actually contracts out people to do some of the work on the games. Like, they're like Massive is the company that worked with Star Wars, but they're not the company that worked with the other games that Ubisoft does. Mm-hmm. So that's why you have different engines here and there.
I was assuming
that the graphics would be at least as good as Assassin's. So I'm thinking like, ooh, Star Wars game, open world, like an Assassin's Creed. Yeah. And then I'm looking at it going like...
Certain games suit certain game engines as well. Certain game engines can't handle, say, massive open world games. They're better for multiplayer or they're better for contained maps. That might be the reason for this engine choice as well.
But it's not even open world. It's quite small.
No. But that's, you know, look at another Snowdrop engine game, The Division 2. Can you go everywhere in that one? You're limited to... No. Exactly. So it's probably that very reason then. They just...
Yeah. Exactly. You're in New York or you're in Washington. And yes, there's a lot to do, but that's it. It's not like, you know, can we drive to Vermont right now? No, you ain't doing that. It's either one city or the other. That's it. But if I had gotten those kind of graphics, I would have been happy. If I had gotten what I thought I was going to get with Assassin's Creed style of graphics, I would have been really happy. So that really kind of disappointed me when it came to the character models and stuff. I'm going like, really?
I mean, yeah, I don't think they put the best foot forward at all on that one. Yeah,
I hope they're gonna come out with something that'll fix that. If it doesn't, then you know what's gonna happen. My favorite mod people are gonna be at it.
That's it. Leave it to the mods to fix.
Exactly, and then it'll start looking better.
Absolutely. But
I think that's the goods and the bads about it. It's not like it's a trash game. It isn't. I do enjoy it. I just was expecting that at least an 8, if not a 9 out of 10. So when I talk about 7, I'm kind of like, I think we're a little disappointed, Matt and I. So, but it's not horrible. I don't want people to get the opinion that it's horrible. I don't know if I would want to pay $60 for it.
No.
Which is why I'm glad I'm on the Ubisoft Plus.
How long are you staying in the pass then for, boys, if you don't want to pay that full price to play this game and maybe other games?
Because they were offering a deal at that time. It was like 35% off. And I went like, yeah, I'll do that. So I did it and I'm good for a year.
I thought you went on holiday and used certain services.
No, not for that one. I went on a holiday for the Game Pass.
Ah, okay.
And that one I got a year and 4 months on.
Yeah.
Nice.
I still got 13 months or 12 or whatever left.
So basically, it's kind of unacceptable, really, that people that pay this money, whether it's Ubisoft Plus, whether it's the premium outright early access game version, or getting a subpar performance, they need to patch hell of it this. Because let's say Graze and Matt have got decent rigs. The FPS they're getting, along with the bells. Thing is, they've got the support of when it's switched on DLSS, but you shouldn't have to be solely relying on that. Mm-hmm. To have such shit performance for the price that these guys are paying and the rigs they've got is not good enough, Ubisoft. Like, you need to stop doing this.
Well, let me tell you something else. I watched this video where this guy really started breaking it down to the nth degree. And so he put up a graphic that was interesting. He was using a 4090. And he was tracking how much VRAM it was using, right? Oh, but it goes to 90 on, I guess, all ultra or whatever. It was using 22 gigabytes of his 24 on his 4090.
You know why?
I'm like, wow.
You know why? Yeah. Some games will use as much of anything PC resource-wise they can get unless there's a limit put into place. So that's probably what's wrong with this game. Another flaw. They haven't said, listen, go and keep an eye on the RAM there, the VRAM, and limit to it limit the VRAM from not all being taken up. Because thing is, you still need a little bit of VRAM left to run the rest of your machine. Like your monitor's been on, browser's been on the background, they'll need VRAM. So using up 22 gigs out of 24 is basically maxing it out, and it's not good for your performance.
I can tell you on mine, I have the 12 gigs, but as I was changing some of the settings, don't ask me why they do this, but on some settings, they show you how much VRAM you're using. Yeah. But then on other settings, they don't show you anything. I'm like,
what do you mean?
Why would you not just show it every time so you could just see it?
Because only certain settings will actually affect the VRAM you use, and other things won't touch the VRAM. It'll just be, because the thing is, you can have some video graphic card settings for that game that will be nothing to do with VRAM. VRAM will be things like how many high quality textures can you keep in memory any one time, and then if you've got an open world, for example, that shit's stored in VRAM, so you can pull from the RAM, and it needs to be fast RAM. This is where this DirectX storage and the PlayStation thing comes from. You can load things instantly because it's sitting in a big buffer. So that's what VRAM's about. If you're changing some settings, Crane, it's not touching the VRAM. It's because it literally isn't touching the VRAM. It'll be touching another part of the graphics card or your CPU as well. So,
well, the other thing was I noticed that my VRAM was sucking up 11 out of my 12.
Uh-huh.
So I knew.
Exactly.
So I knew it was like, oh boy.
Was there any way to limit that bar just like pulling settings down?
Once I turned direct lighting and ray reconstruction off, there was no issue anymore.
Gosh, that's no good. So basically, boys, early access was early access and more than just playing it 3 days early. It was like the equivalent of a beta. It was a beta access. That's not good enough.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. If I was one of those people that spent 110,
I'd go nuts
on PS5 or whatever and they're telling me I got to restart. I'm going like, you want to refund me a few bucks on that?
You get an in-game trinket. Don't forget, Gray, and you get 100 Ubisoft credits, which is probably worth fucking $5 or not even that. Probably a couple of dollars.
Look, I would take the credits if it was enough that it mattered. So in other words, if they were going to give me credits, that would take $20 off a game. Let's say, okay, that's fine. But 5 is nothing to me. 10 is almost nothing.
Gray, what's the difference?
90 gets you a skin on Ubisoft.
Does it? Yeah. So it's enough for a skin? So. Oh, my God. Right, boys, tell me the cost of the... Someone Google this for me, right? What is the cost in doll hairs of the standard game versus the deluxe 3 days early, right? Whatever that price is in dollars, and interrupt at any time, say it's $40, $50. You should be given that back, the difference, I think. It's only fair.
Yeah, I'm sure they're not going to do that.
Honestly, that's no good.
I agree with you. What they're going to say is like, well, we put out the patch and it was in the first day, so, you know.
Yeah, but a whole day. People can play many hours in one day.
What would it be?
You can play many hours of a game in one day and you have to start again. And you have to because you don't want to risk getting to the boss near the end, and then, oh, by the way, your game's crashed and it's corrupted, or you can't get past this mission. You go nuts. So,
well, to show you across the board on different companies like IGN, PC Gamer, Eurogamer, blah, 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 if you kind of average them all out, they're all coming out to around what Matt and I think, like a 7 out of 10. So it's not like,
and that's been generous, I thought.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. So we're not just dreaming here. Everybody's talking the sevens or whatever. So again, I don't want to dissuade anybody. If you're into Star Wars, it's pretty cool. But just understand that it isn't quite as good as it could have been.
But we'll see. I've looked at the Metacritic score, which is kind of usually important for video games, and it's got a 77. I'm really surprised it's as high as that. I'm really surprised, boys. Yeah. It's got its highest score on PC and PlayStation, slightly lower on the Xbox Series.
Well, Eurogamer gave it 2 out of 5. That's one of the lowest I've seen.
Yeah,
and GamesRadar did 3.5 out of 5. But like IGN gave it 7 out of 10. Game Revolution 88 out of 10.
Mr. Host, you had a notification. I'm going to let you do it because you're the host. I'm not doing your job for you.
What's up, buddy? Trub is subscribed once more for 38 months.
Sorry,
it's even longer.
Gray can't multitask. He can't do it anymore.
Trub, I love what you said. I've listened to a lot of this chatter over the last 38 months.
That's brilliant.
I thought he was going to say 13 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm still,
we had did. You just couldn't spell it properly.
if we had the sound on, I could play the Trub's clip. We have your clip, Trub, that you did for us, by the way. Just letting you know.
It's off on purpose because it's the podcast. Normally it's on.
Yeah,
you'd
be smashing.
Thanks,
Trub. You're a trooper.
Trub, what's your opinion on them? I know you probably haven't played the Star Wars Outlaws game. If you have, let us know. But surely when you're paying that kind of money, that's unacceptable for what you're getting in return from a supposed top tier developer, quadruple A, don't forget.
Yeah, so, oh God, please. That's his name. I'll never give that down.
I'll never get old.
He absolutely will never live that.
He'll never let that one down. No.
He might as well just go for it all and come out next year and say a 5A game.
What is that? What is a 5 again? If you're quadruple, what is 5 again? To remind me, boys, I'm bad at my math.
I don't know. Something like Quinton. I don't know. Whatever.
Someone smart than us will tell us.
Cinco? Yeah, Cinco.
Yeah.
So be like Cinco. I don't care.
Sounds Spanish to me. Have we had enough ranting about this game, or is there any positive things you want to say about it to try and balance
it
out?
We'll report more about it when it gets out of early access. We'll see what happens.
Surely you've got more positive things to say about it. You haven't said...
I mean, I just the fact that I couldn't turn on frame gen on DLSS is ridiculous. So you're going to penalize me for playing it early by not allowing me to turn it on. That really gets me nuts.
Yeah, I like the sneaking part of it, which is, quite good. It's handy.
Why are you sneaking?
Just
because you've all got a baldy.
Because you're out.
You're a shitty blaster. That's why.
Absolutely, I have to. Yeah, no choice. Can I was throwing my little head at him.
I didn't really realize it until now when you said that, Matt. Because you only have the blaster. I'm thinking like later in the game you have like any other of those kind of games. You get two or three weapons. You switch out. Apparently, I haven't seen that though, so I don't know what's going on.
You don't get anything. You're stuck with the same little pistol.
We didn't mention Matt was Nyx. I like Nyx.
Nyx.
I think Nyx is a positive thing. Part of the whole game.
Nyx.
Yeah, I think Nyx.
What's Nyx? Nyx in the game? Nyx is
no, Nix. Nyx is a little pet. Her little pet. It's like a dog, but it doesn't look quite like a dog. But whatever.
It's like an armadillo cat. Humpty
yeah, dog. Really. Yeah, I don't know what you call it.
And then met a parrot.
The cool thing is, those Nyx will go over and turn things off. He'll fetch stuff for you. He'll attack somebody so you can stealth kill him or whatever.
Distract them.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And you don't have to use Nyx at all if you don't want to. And one of the mechanics that I was telling Matt about that I found just by pure luck is I was kind of watching what the critter was doing. And as I was getting close to things that were important, he would run up to it and then he would just get up on his hind legs. And I'm like, okay, why is he doing that? So I go over there and there's something there. There's always something there to take, but only when he did that. Otherwise, if he was just sitting there or walking in circles, there's nothing important. But if he sits up and he stares at something, it's something there. So I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. So really, that Nyx makes the game a little bit better because it's different. It's a cool little character.
Imagine having to rely on a feckin' mascot to make the game better. That is sad. It's no good.
I think that's probably why they added. Yeah, they added him as a distraction to the rest. Of the
game. Yeah. They're like, we know our game's like sub-average, subpar, so we'll make the little mascot like really good.
But if you really think about it, to me, it doesn't bother me because that is in the true Star Wars spirit. R2-D2 that did things for you, or CP3 would do things for you, so it's kind of like in the vein of what's going on. But I get your point, though. First of all, Nyx looks better than the character does.
Yeah, I think a lot more work went into it.
Yeah, that's where the graphics budget went, boys. That's why the rest of it's a bit meh.
It seems like
I came up with that first. Yeah,
the critter looks really good. Nyx looks great. When you go to the character, I'm like, what, did you not put makeup on today? What happened?
No, that's brutal, but it's true.
We had some fun with that. Let's get some hardware news in there. Trev's got a couple things for us.
Yes. It's me up next. Apologies. I thought it was later on. I'm really sad about this. I like hardware of all kinds. I have my favorite, which is always PC. We're all three of us Most of our community are PC first and foremost, but the reason we changed from Extreme PC UK to Extreme Gaming Podcast is because we are open to all. We don't judge, even if PC Master Race is superior. Right. So there are console players out there, and I'm wondering, I'm a console player. My PC will get played with more than my consoles, for sure. But I do go to from time to time. And I got rid of my PlayStation a few months ago because I knew there was a PS5 Pro coming out. Heavy, heavy rumoured. And it looks like that is almost concrete because D-Labs, you may have heard of these guys online, they have seen what it looks like, but they couldn't put the exact picture up online because, you know, I guess they kind of don't want to get sued. So it kind of made sense. And I've even got, if I got a picture of it handy, no, I don't. And basically, it looks very similar to the PS5 Slim at the moment, but without the disc drive attached to it. And I think they're doing that because they want you to buy digitally first and foremost. They make more money from it. And you can buy the disc drive separately and it'll make them even more money. So I will get one. Because I've been and rumored to get a Sony, whatever they call them, state of play or showcase or whatever in September sometime, and they'll probably announce it then for release sometime in November, most likely. Probably going to be about £600. That's expensive over the original, it's going to have a massive increase in GPU performance, and their own version of DLSS, which is supposed to be pretty good. I want this because I want to get, I want to get 60 FPS minimum in games, and that's the way to do it. There's some games that I do want to play on the PlayStation Game Pass that could really do with it, and they'll be upgraded. Sony first party games will have the patch put in and they'll look a lot better. 60 should be the minimum. I've always said that, even in Nintendo games. In this modern day and age, there's too many developers that want the game to look shiny first and foremost. And I get why. Unless you're a hardcore gamer and you're just a casual gamer, for example, you want it to look nice. As long as it doesn't play god-awful, you don't really care about the FPS if you're a casual gamer. But we're hardcore, so we want both. And that's why I have a PC, so I can game at 4K over 100 frames. That's what it's all about. So with this, you'll get a lot more performance. And I can play a lot of these games that are on the Game Pass. And rumored to come with 2 terabytes of storage. It is a pro system. Games are, I mean, COD pretty much like takes up, rumored to take up about half of the actual internet itself, especially the new ones. So
you got a pro that has 2 terabytes, it's half of it sucked up by one game.
You know what I mean? Like, what's going on? How big's internet? What is this? One file? Oh, it's half of it's for COD, right? I see. I just ever so slightly, it is huge and they're trying to make COD smaller, but 2 terabytes should be the way it's going because games take up massive amounts of space.
How come they don't have like a... Absolutely. Do they have like external storage?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I've got, where is it? I don't think I have it handy. I've got a USB stick, which I don't know where it is. So you can plug in USB sticks to it as long as they're of USB 3.0 or 3.1 and above at certain standards, because you've got to have that fast storage and loading. And that's nothing to do with the internal storage. So what I've got, I took this out, is a standard, is it 2280 M.2 drive that I've got in my hands? Okay. Just a standard one there. I think it's got to be a minimum of 5,000 reads a second. That one there, it was in my, and I haven't formatted it, it was in my PlayStation before. That's 1 terabyte because you get 1 terabyte in the standard model. After formatting and the OS and stuff, you're left with about 825. It's not a lot these days. So you need 2 terabytes in. You put this in, you open the shell, the side, one of the sides, you plug that in, and that shows up as another location to save your game files, but it will use the same speed and loading standards as PlayStation's been famous for. But if you put in the third-party USB one to the side, that's only for PS4 games. Or PS5 games, but you have to like transfer them back. So, sorry, Trump, I can't ignore Trump.
Yeah, I was just going to say, he was saying it's a great shame that they're not respecting their true fans who would have spent a lot of cash over the years.
Absolutely, yeah,
that's true. Yeah. That's the rights true. If you stick with something that you like, you'll always spend the money. He was saying Microsoft Flight Sim 2024 is going to be much smaller on disk space.
That'd be good.
Cloud to buffer more detail and content. Oh, that's interesting.
That is an interesting concept, and that's the way it should be, because that's the other thing, boys. Blu-ray discs are becoming the way... Remember back in the day with PC, like, we're used to this. We would have, like, 10 million floppy discs for the old games, right? Sure. Next, next, next. And even with CDs and DVDs, you had the same. You had a few DVDs or CDs for a game. And then we got to Blu-rays coming out. And for the most part, for a number of years, you only needed one Blu-ray. And then it's cropped, it's creeped up in size. Games are getting a lot bigger now that you can no longer fit a game on a PlayStation or an Xbox Blu-ray. And I think a Blu-ray is about 100 gig, something like that.
They're 50.
There are other ways to... I think it's both sides. There are other ways to increase that and improve it, but it's about bringing this technology down to the people and making it affordable, and then Sony having to buy the drives and put them in the machines. At the moment, they're really cheap for them to put in, so you can have more than a disc, but you're getting to the stage where they're doing a Nintendo where they go for a really cheap cartridge and you have to download most of it off the internet because they're too tight to pay.
I have another question for you, technical for the PS, well, maybe the Pro.
42.
If it takes USB stick, will it take an external USB drive?
Yes. Did I not say that? I did.
Yeah, it takes got the right.
What about
whether it's a stick or a drive with a cable on it, or it can take anything. But actually, no, can't take anything. It's got to be a certain standard. I'll stand by that point. Can't just be crap.
Because there is also the USB super speed, which is not the blue like the USB 3.1. It's like the red or the orange, whatever. Yeah.
That might be suitable. You certainly can't play games from it. If you could put it in, it'd be a transfer medium only.
Isn't there an external NVMe as well, I think?
No. That you can go through your... No. This is technically...
You get like a hub for it.
It'd be maybe this. This is technically external because while I'm putting it into the PlayStation, I'm only taking the outer shell out and then putting it into the machine from the outside. So it's not soldered into the machine. Okay. So there's two shells on it. There's two shells on the PlayStation. You take one of them away where the fan is and stuff and you just plonk that in. There you go. Something like that. Yeah, so I'd take something like that, Matt. Yeah.
What is that, Matt?
Oh, no, wait a minute.
Is that a closure for a M.2?
Is that for cloning, Matt? I use them for cloning. I've got one of them as well.
That's
for
what
cloning.
I do as well, yeah. Cloning and fixes.
For the people out there that are listening, Matt's got an enclosure that, an NVMe stick, M.2 stick?
Yeah, yeah.
M.2 in there, yeah. So I've got 500 gig one in there, and I use that pretty much for transfers.
How much does the enclosure cost?
Not much.
£15? £12? Yeah, £12.
Really? That's all?
Yeah. And I got three of them, so I was like, oh, Sandy.
Is that a 3.0 USB or higher? What?
It'll be higher than that.
It's a 3.1. 3.1.
Yeah, 3.1. And it takes different sizes, and I don't mean gigabyte sizes. It takes different formats. It'll probably, some of them take like, so you've got a little rubber stopper where you would normally put the NVMe into your motherboard with a little screw, Gray. It's got a little rubber stopper to just hold it down at different points. So the most common is a 2280, but you'll get like 2230s and different size. There you go. That goes in there, different slots.
Do you know what, when you take the enclosure and put the M2 in there, because you're going through USB 3.1, does that mean the speeds are less than if it was in a PC?
That's subjective. It depends on the PC drive is.
Say I have a Gen 4 like I do in my computer.
There's only a certain amount of speed that the cable will take.
Yeah,
right.
That's for that, so it will be limited.
It'll be slow.
It's still pretty fast.
But if you use where did I fucking put it? There. If you use one of them and you put it into the dedicated slot in the PlayStation for it, it more or less matches up with the internal speeds of the PlayStation, so it'll be almost instantaneous loading. But if you use what Matt's got and you plonk it in the back, it won't be instantaneous. So that's why you can't put PS5 games in it, you see, because that's its whole shtick. You can put PS4 games in it to play from, and you can put PS5 games into it. You just can't play from it. You need to transfer it back again. So
I was actually thinking more in terms of external storage. Like right now, I'm using it. It's a good deal. I got a 5 terabyte. I just bought for like $110, which is a deal. And it's the typical USB external 3.1, which I'm happy with.
Mechanical.
I'm sorry?
Mechanical hard drive?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All USBs are supposed to be mechanical, technically. But when he showed the enclosure, I'm thinking like, oh, so maybe if I didn't want to use the typical USB, I could get an enclosure if I wanted, and I have storage. And so that's kind of cool.
Like a NAS type of thing where you have whatever. Like 5 or 6 external.
Or if I didn't want to have a typical 3.0 and I wanted to use your enclosure, it would be an option for storage, you know, or backups and stuff. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But I mean, so basically, the long short of it is, the more storage, don't get me wrong, the storage on consoles is really expensive. I get it. NVMe is a lot more expensive than the hard drives, mechanical hard drives they used to have. I mean, the PS4 Pro still had a mechanical hard drive in it. You could put in NVMe drives or more like the SATA drives, which were faster, but people didn't do that for the most part. So, and then you had the Xbox when it came out. The thing is, right, with the PlayStation, as long as it was a certain speed, you could plug one of these NVMe drives in, right? But with the Xbox, the Xbox players get shafted because they had the internal storage, of course, and they had the similar kind of problem, 1 terabyte, maybe 800 or something was available. But the problem with that was if you wanted to put external storage in, they signed a deal exclusively with Seagate, who are makers of external hard drives and whatnot. And it was a dedicated little card that looked smaller than this, but fatter, more like a 2230 drive. You plonk that in a dedicated drive bay in the back, and it gave it the direct speeds, the really fast speeds, because it had a direct path to the processor. But they, because it was one maker only, those drives were bloody expensive, way more expensive than this. They've came down in price because 2 or 3 manufacturers can make them now, but Xbox players get shafted, and they've got a special edition. They're not doing a mid-life refresh cycle. They're working on their next gen that's going to be, like they say, going to blow everything out of the water. They're coming out with a special edition, but it's just a special edition. It's got like little sparkles on it. It's called like Galaxy Light or something. I don't know. And it's got a 2 terabyte drive built into it, and it costs a fortune. So they're all at it anyway to fleece money out of people, really.
Yeah.
So
a shame.
That's par for the course.
And we're paying them for it.
did I see the sneak peek? Oh, there you go. I tell a lie, guys, really, really quickly. Now, someone had to basically draw it because they don't want to get sued. D-Labs drew it, so they can't get it pulled down. That's what it looks like. So it's very similar to...
It doesn't look that much different, really.
I know, that's the whole point. It's supposed to look similar, but it looks similar to the PS5 Slim, not the original. The shells come away, and what will happen is the right-hand side, that's where the external... It is technically external Blu-ray drive, but it clips in so that it's part of the system, if that makes sense. That would go in the side. You pull away the shell and you buy it separately. But it looks very similar on purpose. I thought that was kind of cool. You know, it'll be out soon and I'll get a pre-order in for that. Bosh, there we go.
Did you sell your old one yet?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, because I wanted the cash up front and I wanted to do it way in advance of a new one. I can't remember now. Between £300-£400, over 300, which is good. But I didn't sell it with this because if it only comes with 2 terabytes of storage, or 1 terabyte, sorry, I will need this. If it comes with two, I don't know if I'll use this. There might not be a bay for it. I'd imagine there will be, or I could sell this.
Well, like I said, if you put COD in there, then you will need it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And that's just an update.
Exactly, that's just an update. But anyway, right,
if you load all the DLC and stuff they have, then it just wipes out your entire PS5 right there.
Exactly.
Anyway. All right, well, I appreciate all the hardware news. That was fun. Learned something new, too.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right, my mod corner's back, so I can talk about two things I thought were interesting. One was immediately when we were complaining about the character models in Star Wars Outlaws. No sooner did that happen when mod people are already going like, is there any character model mods out yet? And it's like, it's too soon now. They only have like one mod, I think, out for music or something. But I got a funny feeling that if unless Ubisoft and their people correct that, you will see that coming. And if it comes in the end, the good modders get a hold of it, I will put the mod in, you know, lickety split.
Absolutely. Yeah. It needs it.
It definitely needs
it. Yeah.
So that would be a really good mod to have. The other mod I saw, I call it the funny mod of the week, only because I couldn't believe it. I was just cracking up when I saw this. Baldur's Gate 3 has a mod called Cannibal Feast, Eat Your Enemies.
What?
And I'm sitting there going, like, what? So apparently, like, in the game, when you're, like, doing your regular whatever, killing the animals and eating them and stuff, I said, hey, if you're short on animals, just grab your enemies and throw them on the grill. And then eat them. And I'm going like, wow, that's a good one. So I was just cracking up. I couldn't move. I was really looking at that. And the byline on it goes, have you ever thought that thing looks yummy? Now you can eat your enemies.
I mean, why not? If you've got nothing better to do, then the thing is that game is already brilliant. So I guess there's not many mods out there. You don't need many mods because it's such a good game.
There's a bunch of mods out there. That doesn't mean anything.
But just in theory, to me, if it's a game is almost perfect, almost, why would you need mods?
It depends on what you're looking for. I mean, if there's something that you think you would like to have, like maybe simple things. Sometimes some games don't allow you to take on more than one companion. So I've seen mods where it will actually allow you to have four companions. You can bring them all along if you wanted to. And other weird stuff like that. So sometimes it's just a matter of what you think, you know, what you want to do. A lot of times when I see mods like that, I've already played the game and I want to load the mods in to mess with it, or I'm maybe 30% into the game and I'm going like, that sounds pretty good. I'll put that in there. Like I said, most of the time, the ones I load in are definitely graphical mods and stuff, because that's, and reshades and things like that.
Things that will improve the game for the most part.
Right, yeah. Exactly. I don't care so much about like, well, you put this in and you'll have an extra pet. Like, yeah, or whatever. If you're into pet, fine. Can you imagine if we had this game
with like
two or three Nixes?
Yeah.
Go do this. Yeah.
Here's a question,
our boss fights, you just send like five or six Nixes after him.
Here's a question for you boys regarding Nix, right? Mm-hmm. If they brought Nix out as like a little collectible toy thing, would you be interested in getting it? Because
I am not into that. But
he's got a little furry duty. He's got a sock. Oh, yeah. Well,
there you go.
It's Lolo, Lola from the one with Ewan McGregor. What was that called?
Obi-Wan.
And.
There you go, baby Yoda.
Not bad for somebody who doesn't
Grogu. No, I didn't say I dislike it. I said I much prefer Star Trek. Like
Doesn't your Grogu talk?
Yeah.
Make him talk.
That's his smack him.
Make him blinks his eyes too. Look at and his ears move.
Does the force as well. See?
Yeah, he's doing something.
And then
he's constipated. One of the two.
This one does a...
Gonna smack him as well, yeah.
Lola!
And they want you to do that because eventually it breaks and you gotta buy another one.
Yeah, it drops in, breaks.
I don't know how you get this one to work, boys, but apparently you can wake it up and it does... Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, there you go. It's really great. You guys can't see this.
It's voice activated, you see. Lola. Lola.
Yeah.
Come on, dance for me. Entertain the listeners and the viewers. Kiss your mother in that mouth.
That's rude.
Lola. A lot of toys never used to see stuff like
that. What she called you, Gray? I know, he is. He's a right old... Yeah.
Don't call me that.
I need to turn her off.
Anyway, we come around to our famous or not so famous... gaming quiz. So they got three new questions. I happen to know the answers by throwing them out to these two, so they can, you know. You guys have been doing pretty good overall.
Nice.
You know, generally speaking. So here's the new one. You there, Trev? You ready for this?
I can't turn her off. Believe you me, boys, that's a first.
Oh,
that was good. Come on. That was good.
I'm not going there with that one.
That's what she said.
I'm ready. Yeah, I'm ready. Oh God,
we're just going to pile it on until it's really, you know, too much. Yeah. Anyway, all right. So I'm going to do the usual. I'll read the question. These two attempt to answer it. If anybody in the chat wants to take their
join in. Give me the answers. I mean, join in.
Yep. All right. You ready for number one?
Go.
Yeah.
All right. Civilization is an empire building game first released in what year? They're already up to Civ 7, which is coming out soon. So what was the year the first Civ game came out? The first Civilization?
93.
Okay, 93. What do you think, Matt?
I'd say, around early 90s, 1910. What machine do I have?
1910?
No, 1910. No, 1910. I was thinking of my age. 91.
Woo. Good one, Matt. Matt got nailed it. 1991.
Gee, you're good at this one. You know the answer. You're cheating.
I love that game. I am.
I can't wait for 7. 7's going to have a couple new things in it, so I'm anxious to see what that's going to be all about.
It was the very first game I actually played of that genre that I just played it and played it and played it.
I don't think I played 1 or 2. I think I started playing when I got to 3.
I think I gave up around that time. I think they changed it somehow. Yeah. I went, it's your turn.
All right. Next question. This is going down the Nintendo alley. Which Legend of Zelda game that picks up after Ocarina of Time was released for the N64 in 2000 and remade for Nintendo 3DS in 2015?
Yeah.
One more time. Which Legend of Zelda game that picks up after Ocarina of Time was released for N64 in 2000 and remade for Nintendo 3DS in 2015.
It's not Wind
Waker.
Was
it the one that you got the whistle with it?
No, because that was done for Wii or Wii U or something, mate, if you remember.
Yeah. These guys have their eyes closed and they're using their brain. Good to see.
I'm not a massive Zelda fan, to be honest with you. Damn. Not Ocarina of Time, not Wind Waker.
The third one. The third one. Yeah, that's the one.
I don't know. Matt, have you any guesses?
Nobody? No guesses?
Third one.
The third one. You're right, Matt. The third one. No, it was called Majora's Mask.
No.
I was going to say that.
Yeah.
There you were.
But I couldn't think of the mask name, so I was like,
Christ, and I'll
you were thinking of the movie The Mask. That's what it was.
Don't know.
Yeah.
All right. The last question.
Right.
Desmond Miles is a fictional character and the main protagonist of the first few installments of in what series of video games? One more time. Desmond Miles is a fictional character and the main protagonist of the first few installments in what series of video games?
I'm just going to guess The Walking Dead. Just going to guess.
Okay.
I have no clue.
Assassin's Creed.
Oh, better not.
Matt, you are right.
No way, he's getting the ball. I referee, VAR. I want a VAR decision, man. This is shocking.
Matt was on it. 2 out of 3, boy. That's pretty good.
Wow.
Very good. Very good.
Well, two good games.
So all he's done, right? Because I don't see his hands moving and stuff. So what I think he's done is he set up ChatGPT or Gemini or Copilot before the pod to say, boy, listen, AI, listen out for the questions at the end and then type out the answers to me. And then he can do it hands-free. That's my theory. I don't know.
Well, so in other words, he's piped straight into ChatGPT.
For the whole pod.
Answering at the auto. Yeah.
It's a part of the subscription of Office 365.
Yeah, it's a subscription. Answer anything I want subscription. Yeah.
As long as I pay for it.
Shocking.
Well, boys, it's been fun as usual on the show. And I hope everybody out there is enjoying this. It'll be up on all the podcast services, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Look to the future. In the next coming month or so, we're going to be getting into some better and neat and fancy stuff and probably doing our podcast even to a wider audience, different formats and so forth. So I'll be looking for that, but we'll let you know.
Just to add to that really quickly, Gray, that we will be starting that soon. We don't want to put a date in it just because we want to be comfortable with the technology that we're using because it is really, really good. Trust me, we've been playing about it. We'll be doing our gaming podcast in it as well because we're able to do that. and we're able to put it on 4 or 5 different social media live streaming platforms at the same time. And it'll be all nice and fancy, like you see with StreamYard, where you can pull comments in and out and share pages, and it'll look nice and professional and nifty. But that'll come soon.
If you think we're ugly enough on Twitch, wait till we're on 5 other services at the same time.
Then you'll have no choice. Really,
they'll all be running then. Well, I appreciate it as usual, guys. We couldn't do this without all of us. We're the team. It comes out really good. And I hope you liked our... If you look behind here, you see a new logo there.
It's cool? A teaser of things to come.
A little teaser,
Yep, teaser. You'll see more of some of that coming around. So
and you'll see it on the and you'll see it in the Discord as well. Yep. That's if you, you need to join our Discord to see it. So you know.
And if you go on the Twitch homepage, you see it as well. Although we can optimize it a little, but it's there.
Thanks, Trob. Take it easy, mate. All the best.
Yeah, Trob. Thank you very much. Trob. All right, boys. Everybody, say goodbye.
Bye-bye. Hey, goodbye.
Bye.
GTFN. Auf Wiedersehen.
I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your heart. In my heart, I have but one desire. And that one is you, no other hero. We'll be right back.